Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and we are here every Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with a good friend of ours. Their names are Pam and Ron Harshman. They run Harshman Travel Agency. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see the cool things that they have going on their website. Now, I'm looking outside, and it's darker earlier, and next week this time is going to be darker even earlier than that because it's man-made as far as the daylight savings time where we switch back the clocks. And for all those people that are probably in the northern hemisphere, you want to get the hell out of there. You want to go somewhere nice. You probably want to go on a cruise. So you are in the right place if you are here on Building Fortunes Radio or the Harshman Travel Agency radio show, because Pam and Ron can hook you up with the best possible cruise, with the best possible information or any other travel that you might have. Make sure you go check them out. The way this whole thing got started is I was looking for some guest hosts on Building Fortunes Radio. I called Pam Harshman, and she was building home-based businesses at that time, and she kind of let me down a little bit. She said, well, gently that was. She said, you know, Peter, we're not going to be doing the traditional MLM home-based businesses anymore. We're going to be moving in the direction of becoming certified travel agents. And I said, you know, I know people bring their heads wherever they go, and Pam was really good at what she did. And I said, you know, it'd be really nice for you guys to host a radio show with us because, and I had to think about why. why? So they have, I said, you know, well, let's think this through. People that are in home-based businesses, their goals are to travel more, and they go on conventions and vacations, and they're people too. So, and I know that you'll, you know, bring up the education that people need. You'll be there for the help that they're looking for. You'll make sure they're getting special deals. You'll be there when they need you, like if there's an interruption in plans. You know, all that sort of stuff sometimes happens in the real world. So let's do some radio shows anyway. And this has become our, or one of our longest-running radio shows. Again, if you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see their website. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/harshmantravel, you'll be able to pick up on any of the previous radio shows that we've done. Now, we know we have a lot of newer listeners every week, so you may not know or have the same level of enthusiasm that I have towards their background and their credibility, so I want them to share with you a little bit about themselves. So you'll see this is the kind of person you'll be working with, and then we'll do our commercial break, and after the commercial break, Ron comes back and gives us the, you know, the new information and mostly good information that happens in the travel industry. So let's do introductions first. Pam, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thanks for having us again, Peter. It's always good to be here and visit with you and educate the listeners a little bit. And I'm with you, boy. I start yawning about 5 o'clock as soon as it's dark, once the daylight savings time kicks back.
Oh, I can't stand that. Oh, I can't wait until lighter longer.
It's only an hour, but it takes me 2 or 3 weeks to adjust.
Yep.
Anyway, a little bit about my background. I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest. And loved my job, but slow but sure, moved myself up into court administration and did that for many, many years until I met my husband, and he lived down in Florida, so I was kind of moving all the way cross-country sideways there, and kind of culture shock when I got here, but I am absolutely loving it. And once down here, I wanted to find something that I could do more or less independently and, you know, work from home if I could. And ultimately, I ended up getting my realtor's license, followed by my broker's license, and I sold real estate in South Florida for several years, and just kind of woke up one day, and that just was not my niche. It just, you know, if you don't love what you're doing, you got to look elsewhere. So I went and I got my life and health insurance license, and I sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Well, I absolutely loved it. Every day was a new adventure. It was so simple, and I would go to the homes of seniors and explain all about Medicare and their options. But what made it so fun was when I went, I didn't know if I was going to have just one person or a couple or two or three couples, or sometimes I walked in and I had a whole bunch of ladies and they almost had like a full tea party set up. So it was always fun, and I really enjoyed that because I felt, you know, I was doing a good thing, being that a decision about your health care is probably one of the most important decisions you're going to make as a senior, because that's got to carry you through to the rest of your life. So it was a very rewarding job for me. But at the same time, I was getting these carrots dangling in front of my face on the Facebook news feed about home-based businesses and MLMs. And as you said earlier, I was a customer of yours, and I did try several of them out, had several winners, but had a couple losers in there. But I learned so much, and that was key to a lot of it. And you and I just hit it off, and we've been real good friends ever since. So it was just, you know, a good experience. And one day on my travels, I had a girlfriend call me, and out of the blue, she asked if Ron and I had ever thought about becoming travel agents. And, you know, it just kind of blew me away, because it hadn't even been a week since Ron and I had sat down and talked about us being empty nester baby boomers, and we had some disposable income, and basically we could make our own schedule. So we were kind of comparing bucket lists and where we wanted to go first, and you know, start doing some of our own traveling. And so when she mentioned that, it was kind of a shock to me, and I couldn't wait to get home and talk to Ron about it, because the thought had never occurred to me prior to that. And once I got home and we were chatting, I was doing a lot of research on the internet about different things and made up our pros and cons list, and ultimately decided, well, you know, let's go for this. So we got all of the education that we could possibly get our hands on, and at the same time, it was, you know, getting all of the licenses and regulations and all that stuff we had to follow, and we have probably done a whole lot more travel than we would have been able to do otherwise. And it's been really fun, because at the same time, we have helped an awful lot of folks get the most out of their travel dollars. So it's been a win-win for us, and we absolutely have loved what we've been doing. That is until COVID hit, and that kind of put the quabash on everything. And I do have to say, though, we're coming back, and it's coming back stronger than ever, and I am so pleased to see that. And the bookings are, people are traveling, and that's just it. People are traveling, and I'm so glad to see that, because the travel industry did take such a hit during COVID. So it's good to see.
Excellent. Okay, good. And then, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. Good to be here with you again. My background is very different from Pam's. Spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved in my own clinical work, my clinical practice, but also heavily involved in the self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I first got started, a very good friend of mine, a mentor, suggested that it would be wise for me to get involved in the Provincial Association. I was up in Canada at the time, and get involved in the Provincial Association, and she felt that I had a lot to contribute and could benefit from being involved. So I did, got involved, sat on the Board of Ethics and several committees, eventually got involved in the National Association, the Canadian Psychological Association, and was fortunate to be elected as applied chair of the Canadian Psychological Association, sat on several ethics boards, professional affairs committees, represented the Canadian Association with the sister association here in the United States, the American Psychological, and really learned a lot, got to see a lot of the behind-the-scenes things that go on in professions that most professionals do not even know about, whether they're in law or dentistry or medicine or whatever. Most professionals join their professional association. They might attend their annual convention or whatever, but very few actually get involved in the behind-the-scenes workings. And it was very, very educational, very, very challenging, but very, very rewarding as well. In terms of my own clinical work, I was very fortunate in both my undergraduate and graduate training to have a number of professors who made it very clear that if we were ever thinking of going into private practice, it would be very necessary to first get as much varied clinical experience as we could working with different clinical populations, because they made the very valid point that when you are in clinical private practice, you put up your shingle, you let people know that you're seeing patients, etc., but you really have very little control over who's going to come to see you, what their life situation is, what problems they're having that they need help with, etc. And the professors made a very strong point that if you were seeing a patient and you had no idea of the life situation they were involved in or what they were facing, you could very easily do a lot more damage than help. And that advice really hit home for me. I made the commitment, even in undergrad, that I would start working for as many of the social service delivery systems as I could and really get as much clinical experience as I could get working with different clinical populations. And I followed that advice and was very pleased with the outcome, because when I did go into private practice, I really felt very well prepared. When I got into private practice, it didn't take me too long before I started specializing, working with young families, young couples, doing a lot of premarital counseling, a lot of sexual counseling, a lot of family counseling, etc. And very early on, I found myself getting involved in the court system, because a lot of the people I was seeing were pretty immature kids who had grown up in the throwaway society. Their marriage wasn't working, so they were going to get a divorce. And unfortunately, if they had young kids, they saw their kids as the last battleground where they thought they could score some points on their about-to-be ex-spouse. And as a result, I ended up in a lot of court situations, a lot of disputed custody cases. And at the time that I got involved, just very fortuitously, it had nothing to do with me, just the timing, up until that time, there had pretty much been a pre-drawn conclusion in the court systems that if you had a young couple going through divorce and there were young kids involved and there was a dispute over custody, almost always custody would be granted to mommy, visitation to daddy. And although that worked out favorably in many situations, there were too many cases where we saw that not only was that not a good outcome, but it was a very bad, destructive outcome. And around the time that I got involved, the court system started to change, and the courts made the decision that going forward, any decisions made in child custody cases had to be based on the psychological best interest of the children involved. And that was a very sane decision, very strong decision, very good decision. Problem was that at that point, there was no standardized way of people coming up with the psychological best interest or being able to present those in court or anything like that. And as a result, I found myself in a very fortunate position with a number of other practitioners. We made the commitment that it would be important for us to formulate a standardized plan for doing child custody investigations in order to determine what would be in the best interest of the children involved, and then not only doing the investigation, but how to, in a professional and appropriate way, go into court and present that evidence. And I was very fortunate, right place at the right time, to get very heavily involved working with a number of other professionals, and we really did standardize the way to do child custody investigations and to present the findings of those investigations in court. So it was a very, very challenging, very, very heavy, but very, very rewarding experience, and I really enjoyed doing that. I ended up being one of the first psychologists in Canada to be appointed as a expert in the child custody field. And just as a number of incidents that took place, I found myself in South Florida being in the position to introduce the whole concept in the South Florida courts as well. So it worked out very well for me. It was very challenging, but very, very rewarding. After PM and I got together, it wasn't too long before we decided to semi-retire. We moved from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida, started raising alpacas. As PM indicated, she started getting involved in home-based business, multi-level marketing. And although I wasn't involved in that, I was very supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, that was something that just automatically struck both of us as a good thing to do. We did the research, made the determination that if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way. We would get all the training necessary, get all the proper licensures, and also spend the time and the effort finding those travel vendors that we felt comfortable working with, representing, and supporting. And it has worked out very, very good for us. When COVID hit, as everybody, I think, knows, the travel industry took a very big hit. The cruise industry, a probably bigger hit than any other portion of the travel industry. But during those several months that was going on, Peter, you and I continued to focus on a prognostication that things would get better and that the travel industry would survive and come through it. And it's been very positive to be able to, week after week, bring evidence of the fact that our prognostications were accurate and that travel is coming back bigger and stronger than ever before. And this week is no exception. We have some other interesting things that have been announced this week that really underline the comeback of the travel industry.
Excellent. Okay, good. We're going to take a little commercial break. We'll be right back. Check out Harshman Travel, harshmantravel.com. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we're back. Peter Bingles here with Pam and Ron Harshman. Ron's going to give us the good news in the travel industry. Go ahead, Ron.
All righty. I did mention last week the effect that the terrible situation in Israel was having on the travel industry. And not surprising, this week, three major cruise lines made the announcement that they were taking Israel off of their list of ports of call pretty much for the year, the rest of 2023, but also into next year, just in anticipation that things were not going to get better very quickly. So Oceania Cruises revamped its 2024 Mediterranean schedule. They are replacing ports of call in Israel, Egypt, and Jordan, and they are saying that they want to ensure the safety, security, and peace of mind of their passengers. So there's no doubt that that's a good move. Norwegian Cruise Line has canceled all of its Israel calls for the remainder of 23 and for all of 24, and Windstar Cruises has also postponed its winter program in the Middle East and will instead deploy to the Mediterranean. So when things happen in the world, without too many exceptions, they do have an impact on the cruise industry and vice versa. Obviously, when things happen in the cruise industry, it has an impact on several places around the world where the cruise lines tend to end up visiting. In any event, number of positive announcements this week. The Montreal Port Authority announced a 33% increase in travel in the cruise industry in 2023 with 51,000 passengers and 16,200 crew members, and they expected to see 23 ships from 15 different companies for a total of 48 port, you know, landings. So, again, we're seeing around the world the impact of the cruise industry coming back bigger and stronger than ever before. Carnival Corporation this week was named one of the world's best employers for 2023 by Forbes, and that was apparently the third consecutive year that they were given that honor. They were recognized among 700 international employers spanning more than 20 industries for cultivating a positive workplace environment, work-life balance, career advancement opportunities, and employee diversity, according to a statement by Forbes. So congratulations to Carnival. They have, and this is an amazing number, I was surprised, 160,000 employees representing 150 different countries. So I thought that was interesting, but very, very well deserved. AIDA, one of the Carnival subsidiaries over in Europe, has announced its 2023 World Cruise in Germany. This is a 117-night voyage, and after leaving Northern Europe, they're heading south. Visits to ports of call in Spain, the Canary Islands, and Cape Verde Islands. And following a four-day Atlantic Ocean crossing, the ship will arrive in South America for a series of visits to destinations in Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and Chile. Then crosses the Pacific on its way to the French Polynesia, Cook Islands, Fiji, and New Caledonia. And this is just an example of the type of adventure that's available for people, and obviously this is not something for everyday Joe who is able to take that amount of time or spend that amount of money on a cruise, but it does just underline the diversity of what is available in the cruise industry. Two major announcements of ships being coming to the market this year. One is the Icon of the Seas from Royal Caribbean International, and the Carnival Jubilee from Carnival Cruise Lines. And both of these ships will be making their 2024 entry, and just fantastic itineraries for both of them, and we will continue to see the addition of new ships, new itineraries, and as I've said before, we are really seeing the cruise industry coming back much bigger and better than ever before. Crystal Cruise Lines revealed its 2025 Grand Journey itineraries following the multi-million-dollar refurbishment of the Crystal Serenity and the Crystal Symphony. And these ships will be going round trip to Mumbai, Singapore, Rio de Janeiro, Mumbai Cruise, Cape Town, Barcelona, Stockholm, and Liverpool. And again, these are ports of call. These are itineraries that are not necessarily the ones that people think about when they think about a 7-day or 10-day vacation, but they are there for people who are thinking of a major, major investment in a special vacation down the road, a 50th anniversary, a retirement from work, you know, a multi-generational family vacation, whatever, and really just the amount of adventures that are out there and available. And from my perspective, as a travel agent, I find it amazing to see how some of these very expensive, very long cruises are fully booked almost immediately when the booking opens. And this is continuing to be the experience, no matter how many new ships, no matter how many new itineraries. As soon as something new and wonderful is advertised as being available, without exception, these things are being booked, and they're being fully booked, and it just amazes me, but it's very, very nice to see. Royal Caribbean is already looking at making some very special additions to their 2025 Alaska season in terms of the number of ports of call that they're looking at, in terms of the different itineraries and the number of different ships even that they are going to be committing to Alaska. So Alaska continues to be the new frontier, the last frontier, whatever people have named it. Really, there's more and more travel going there, and that's so nice to see, because when COVID was really hitting and at its worst time, it was during the Alaska season, and because of all of the ships canceling their trips to Alaska, the devastation that that had to the economy and to all of the communities in that state was just really heartbreaking. And it's nice to see that that's one area that is really booming and coming back very, very strong. Port Miami announced the arrival of 8 new cruise ships for the 23-24 cruise season. And these new ships are there again with great itineraries and keeping Miami as the busiest port worldwide. But we are seeing a number of new ships from each of the cruise lines looking at Port of Miami as the base and the home base for a number of these ships. Carnival Magic, one of the main Carnival ships, has just come back to Miami. It's one of the ships that's there. It is a 3,650 guest vessel, and they will be going to St. Thomas, the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Martin, Nassau, the Bahamas. They will also be going to the Southern Caribbean, and they will be going again out of Miami for the entire season. So we're seeing some growth there. Abu Dhabi, the cruise terminal there has just opened for the 23-24 cruise season, and the arrival of Crystal's Symphony, I'm sorry, ship is there, and their cruise season starts off just a couple of days ago, November 1st, and they are expecting 126 ships coming in to Abu Dhabi during this coming season. And it is a major, major improvement and expansion over last year. So we are seeing again worldwide a number of indications of how the cruise industry is coming back bigger and better than ever before, and we're continuing to see each week new ships, new itineraries, new things available on board, and just the increase of investment and the increase of production coming out of the different cruise lines. Every one of them is looking for net zero exhaust in the year 2050. So we are seeing a number of ships that are testing out new sources of fuel, and that will definitely continue. So again, it's been a week of a lot of major things happening. It's unfortunate with what's going on in Israel and the impact that it's having on many, many more things than just the cruise lines. That's a spit in the ocean compared to what's really going on over there. But the fact that these major cruise lines have had to make these alterations, and again, it underlines the commitment of the cruise line to concentrate on the safety and the well-being of their customers, and for them to just change itineraries and say we will go where it's safe to go is just very, very nice to see. So things are continuing in a very, very positive way, and we're very happy to be able to report on those.
Excellent. Well, it's crazy what's happening over in the Middle East, and with, you know, Israel. I could just imagine how many cruises, trips, you know, flights, all that sort of stuff is being rearranged or postponed. But the good thing is that the cruise industry and the travel industry has been very accommodating. It's not like they stick you with penalties or whatever for these types of issues. They usually want to keep your money, and then we're going to move you around or whatever, give you advance notices, like you said a little bit earlier. One of the things I did have a question for you. On the Mexico side, they had the, you know, the immediate hurricane
that hit Acapulco. And I don't know if there's any cruise ships around that area, but that really spun up really kind of quick and kind of caught a lot of people off guard. Did it affect the travel industry? Like, were there cruises that got messed up in that area as well?
I have not heard of anything, Peter, so it's new to me. I can certainly look into it, but I haven't seen any news about it, or certainly none of the cruise lines have indicated any effects of any bad weather in the Mexico area. So I don't know.
Yeah, it spun up it spun up from like a tropical storm to a Category 5 within 12 hours, which is really crazy. So it's not like it was in the news or there was a whole bunch of things and it blew out a lot of the hotels on land. But I'm sure the good thing about a cruise ship is they probably move out of that area. So I was just kind of curious to see things
good
happen.
About the cruise ships is that they are constantly monitoring and they have equipment on board that allows them to know, and the captains of those ships are very, very, very well trained, and if they pick up any indication of anything possibly going wrong, they will immediately contact the Coast Guard and immediately alter their course to avoid being caught up in any of that stuff. So I would feel relatively confident that the bottom line answer to your question is no, it did not adversely affect any of the cruises, but my only confidence in saying that is the degree to which I know that they are prepared and constantly monitoring any changes in the weather. We had that with the hurricanes in the Caribbean a couple of years ago, with all of the damage that was done. As far as I know, there was not one ship, one passenger ship, that was caught off guard or caught in the storm at all. So, they're pretty well prepared for anything like that to pop up.
Excellent. Okay, good. Well, thanks for everybody being here. Check them out at harshmantravel.com, harshmantravel.com, and we will see everybody next week on Building Fortress Radio. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Pam. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.